So one of the things that people are often very surprised to learn about my family, the family I grew up in, is that I am a part of a group of siblings who are made up of two sets of twins. You see, my mom and my dad wanted to have a baby, and instead of having one baby, they had twins, my brother and I. And 2.5 years later, they decided to have another baby. But once again, they had two babies, this time my younger brother and my younger sister. And throughout my life, when I've told people about my family that I am one of two sets of twins, they're amazed, surprised, and shocked. Because you see, as you know, it is rare to have one set of twins, but to have two sets of twins back to back, that's something people have never heard of. And they look at me in shock and awe and often ask all sorts of questions. What was it like growing up being a twin? What was it like for your parents to have two kids and then 2.5 years later to have two more kids? What was it like having four kids in diapers at the same time? I look at them and I often say the same thing. To me, it was normal. You see, I had never known any different. To me, the dynamic of my family is not some rare and unusual thing. It's just the way my family is. I share that story with you because in life, there are certain things that are remarkable, certain things that are incredible things, but they become unremarkable to us because they become ordinary and common. Things about our daily lives, things about the way we experience the world are often remarkable and amazing and transforming, and yet we don't notice them. We don't appreciate them because it's the way we've always known it. If you were to get a time machine and take someone who lived 200 years ago and bring them to today and have them just walk around, they would be in awe and amazed about all the things that we have and we experience in a daily basis. They will watch a car go down the road and be marveled at this technology, this speed, this ability to travel so quickly and so succinctly. They would look at the houses that we live in, filled with air conditioning and heating and multiple rooms for different family members, and they would be in awe and amazed at all the things we have. Televisions and cell phones and drive-thrus, all these things would blow their minds, yet for us, these are just regular and common occurrences. Why? Because they're unremarkable? No, they truly are remarkable, but they often seem unremarkable to us because to us, they are ordinary and common things. And out of the most extraordinary thing that we have that we often don't notice is the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. See, the Gospels teach us that Jesus died and has risen and is with us all the time, in all sorts of different places, in all sorts of different ways. And yet, we don't often appreciate this fact. We don't often consider this fact because, to us, it is so very, very common. So how do we grow deeper and deeper into appreciating that Jesus is a part of our daily lives? Well, the truth of the matter is, the people in our gospel reading had Jesus by their side, and they didn't know it as well. In our gospel reading, we hear from two men who were followers of Jesus. Now, at this point in the gospels, Jesus has risen from the dead and is now traveling around to his different followers to show them that he has risen from the dead. And these two men are walking along the road, and all of a sudden, the risen Jesus approaches them. But they don't notice it, or they don't know it. All the scripture says is that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They think that the reason Jesus is just another regular guy. And so Jesus comes up to them and essentially says, "What are you talking about?" They look at Jesus incredulously and think, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened? You haven't heard the news that this Jesus guy did all these incredible things, performed all these incredible miracles, and we were hoping that he was the Messiah and the Savior of the whole world, but instead, the authorities took him and hung him on the cross. You haven't heard about any of this? Jesus, playing sort of dumb, says, "No, I haven't," and walks along with them all day along this road. Until finally, at night, Jesus is about to part ways with them and not even say anything, and the men say, "You know what? It's late. Why don't you stay with us? Why don't you have a meal?" See, again, these men don't know that it's Jesus. They're just being generous and kind to a stranger. Jesus sits down with them, and the scriptures tell us that he breaks bread with them, and in the breaking of the bread, in communion, he reveals himself to them. And the moment they recognize him, the scriptures tell us that Jesus vanishes. And they say to themselves, "Were our hearts not burning within us this whole time?" Essentially, they are saying, how could we not recognize the presence of Christ in our daily life? That's the question I have for us all this morning. How come we don't recognize the presence of Christ in our daily lives and well? Jesus' parting words to the disciples and to us in the Gospels is this: "Remember, I am with you always until the end of age." You see, often people think that Jesus comes and goes in their life. That Jesus comes and goes like almost like a distant relative. That perhaps when they're praying or when they're in church or when they're having a really, really good day and they're really being a good disciple and they're acting really holy and righteous, and God shows up. And he stays in their hearts for a little while and then he leaves until he decides to come back again. But the scriptures tell us that Jesus doesn't come and go. The scriptures tell us that Jesus is always with us. The question then becomes not how do we get more and more of Jesus in our lives because Jesus is already there. The question becomes how do we become more sensitive to the constant presence of Christ in our hearts? See, God is there all the time, always with us, not because we always deserve it, but because he has promised to be with us. And so what we need to do is tune our hearts and our sensitivity to the presence of God in our life, not to make him more and more apparent, but to make ourselves more and more aware. And there's a couple of things that I think are helpful to being more sensitive to the presence of Christ in our life. And the first is this: as much as possible, to live in the present moment, because that is where God is. It is so easy for our minds to drift to the past and to drift to the future. It is so easy for our minds and our hearts to think about what has happened and what is to come, to look at the past with regret and to look at the future with worry. But the scriptures remind us constantly that God is with us, but God is with us in a very specific way. God is with us in the present moment. And if we are willing to stay in the present moment, God will reveal himself to us. His guidance, his providence, his justice will be present in the present moment. You see, I compare being a disciple to being a rock climber. And a rock climber has a goal: to reach the top of the mountain. And they know what their overall goal is, to reach the top of the mountain. But in order to climb the mountain effectively, they have to be focused on the present moment. See, a rock climber can't look down too much or else they'll get afraid. And they can't look up too much, otherwise they'll get overwhelmed by the task. They have to stay focused on the present moment. They have to ask themselves the question: where do I put my hand next? Where do I put my foot next? What's the next hold? What's the next way to grip the rock? And once they reach that point, then they focus on the next point, and the next point, and the next point. You see, as Christians, we have a similar call and mission. We know our overall goal, or overall call is to heaven, is to God's heavenly kingdom. But we do not spend our lives dwelling in the future. God calls us to live in the present moment, to live for today, and to think about what step God is calling us, not to take a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, but what God is calling us, what step God is calling us to take today. And if we take that step, it's like the rock climber grabbing on to the foothold. Then we'll see the next step, and the next step, and the next step. God reveals himself to us not in a blueprint or a strategic 5-10 year plan. God reveals to us himself by guiding each one of our steps one at a time. The second and final thing that we can do to be sensitive to the presence of God in our life is to find courage by looking in the ways God has sustained us in the past. So when we encounter a new problem or a new challenge or a new difficulty, we are often anxious about the outcome. We're often worried about how it's all going to turn out. We don't have the answers. We don't know what the overall plan is. And when we are anxious and we worry, it makes it difficult to see how the presence of God is working in our life. But when I am anxious about a future event, I think about a specific way that God provided for me and sustained me in the past. I'll give you an example. When I was in college, I was a sophomore, and I was just sitting in my dorm room hanging out. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from the financial office at the school. And they said, "Andy, we've been trying to get a hold of you. You owe the school $10,000. And if you don't pay this very, very soon, you will not be able to continue at the school." See, there was an oversight, a missed bill or a missed payment somewhere, and I had gotten this huge balance. And immediately I was filled with fear and anxiety and worry. I didn't have $10,000. Where was I going to get $10,000? Where was I going to come up with that kind of money? I had no idea and no solution. Well, I won't give you all the details, but suffice it to say, I did graduate. I'm standing here before you today. I am okay. I made it through college. And if you look at your lives, I bet you can find a similar situation. I bet you can find a similar situation in the past where you were worried and you had no idea how things were going to work out, and yet God provided for you anyway. You see, when I worry about something that's going to happen, when I don't see the presence of God in my life, I often hear God saying to me, "Really, Andy? How many times? How many times do I have to provide for you? How many times do I have to care for you? How many times before do I have to come through for you before you trust me?" And I say, "Okay, God, you're right. You see, I don't see how this situation is going to work out, but there's been situations in the past that I didn't see how they were going to work out either, and yet God always provides. It may not be in the way I want it, it may not be in the timing that I want it, but God always provides. And for that, I know he is part of my daily life." And so be sensitive to the fact that God is not part of your life just some of the time, but all of the time. And worry and fear and anxiety can cloud our minds like it did those disciples who were walking next to Jesus and didn't even know it. But if we trust God, if we live in the present moment, God will reveal himself to us, show himself to us, and help us know that he is with us forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all the ways that you have sustained us and provided for us. And we ask, Lord, that you help us be sensitive to your presence in our daily lives. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.